Diabetes Insights, Breakthroughs and Innovators. The EASD TV podcast from the annual meeting of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes.
Each year at EASD, the outcomes of a number of important trials are announced, and this year is no exception. There have been some particularly important trials, one of which is a SURPASS-COVT trial. And with me in the studio to discuss the outcomes of that trial are Tina Visbol, who was chairing the session, which, by the way, was at 7:15 in the morning, and Herschel Gerstein, who is chosen or has been chosen by EASD as an independent advisor. So, Herschel, let's talk to you firstly. Could you give us an overview of this trial?
So the SURPASS-CVOT trial was a cardiovascular outcomes trial in which the researchers tested the effect of tirzepatide, 15 milligrams once a week, versus dulaglutide at a dosage of 1.5 milligrams per week. And so it is a comparative efficacy trial in which one drug was compared against another one, which has already been proven and shown to reduce cardiovascular events compared to placebo in people with type 2 diabetes.
And that's the key thing, not against a placebo, against something that's been...
Right. Yeah, they used an active comparator. So this was a head-to-head comparative efficacy trial with the outcome being MACE or MI stroke cardiovascular death.
And what were the outcomes?
What the researchers showed was that tirzepatide is not inferior to dulaglutide. Essentially, one interprets that as saying it had equivalent cardioprotective efficacy to dulaglutide, suggesting that this drug was at least as good, might be better, but it was at least as good that as dulaglutide was at with respect to the effect on cardiovascular outcomes.
And why is this outcome so important for diabetologists, Tina?
Well, it is because when we treat patients with diabetes, we want to save lives. We want to go beyond glycemic control and body weight and lipids and all that. And this trial is really unique, as you just said, first ever with an active comparator. We had 10 trials where placebo was used, and we want to make a difference for the individual patient. And it was more than 13,000 patients, and it was actually the second largest and longest trial ever. So it's really
a lot of confidence in the results.
Yes.
Yeah.
And where do you think that takes us in terms of advice and guidelines for people treating people living with diabetes?
Well, I think it's very reassuring to know that tirzepatide, which is a drug that has already been shown to have lots of beneficial metabolic effects, glucose lowering, weight reduction, in addition to modest blood pressure effects, as well as already has approval in some constituencies for diverse conditions such as sleep apnea and other things. So this drug that has metabolic benefits in people with diabetes, we now know that, and we can be reassured that it also has cardiovascular benefits in people with diabetes. So people now have a easy and additional easy and safe way to improve somebody's diabetes control while having cardiovascular benefits. So we can add it now to the currently available GLP-1 receptor agonists that have also been shown to have cardiovascular benefits, and it adds more choice and options for people and for both clinicians and provider and patients.
It seems to me that we're bringing together the cardiologists and the diabetologists, and rather than them prescribe one set of drugs for cardiology and you prescribe another set of drugs for diabetes, actually you're prescribing something that does both.
I'll just jump in. A person with diabetes doesn't care whether they're being seen by a diabetes specialist or a cardiology specialist or an internal medicine specialist. What's important is doing research that benefits the patient, the person with diabetes. And it's really wonderful. It's in the last 25 years, cardiologists and diabetologists and nephrologists and more now neurologists are all working collaboratively to test and assess therapies that can reduce cardiovascular outcomes, reduce kidney outcomes, and hopefully in the near future have benefits on brain outcomes such as, you know, cognitive effects, et cetera. So the future is going to be transdisciplinary interactions, people working together to solve problems that matter to patients.
I imagine that when Jens Holst was first thinking about these GLP-1s, he was thinking about the equivalent of a penknife with one blade.
Yeah.
And actually, it's turned into one of those penknives with 32 blades and are things for getting stones out of horses' hooves. So extraordinary range of different possibilities.
That's why you have to do research. Yeah. If you didn't do these research studies, these big studies, you wouldn't know the answer to those questions. And I don't think Jens or Dan Drucker or anybody else who was involved early on in these drugs really imagined that they would have all these effects. You would know better than me, I think.
Yeah, Jens, I mean, I'm a big fan. He was my PhD supervisor many years ago. And back then we focused on the very glucose-centric, insulinotropic effect of GLP-1. But the GLP-1 journey has been insane. And I really love, after the session today, how people are talking in the corridors, you know, how to interpret these data, how will they be put into the guidelines? Because it's right, we have another brick in the puzzle to do personalized medicine in a really good way. But we will also see, because the people, Melanie Davis and her crew, they are now looking into the update of the ADA and the ESD recommendation. I know they are going through more than 8,000 papers since 2002, where we had, no, 2022, where we had the last edition. So they're really, really busy. And it's very appropriate that they now get another solid trial to be put in. And we will actually, at the next year at the ESD, discuss these new guidelines and see where everything goes in the right direction. And with a trial like this, we will really be able to do personalized medicine in a completely different way.
Yeah.
Because some like this peptide, some like this, maybe it's the liver that's the most important. Maybe it's dementia. We'll know more about this next year as well. So I love the fact that we started early, 7:15, but it was a completely packed room.
I was going to ask you about the 7:15 start, because a lot of people were very skeptical, 7:15.
Yeah.
You know, has the program director lost her marbles on this one?
But I think so.
But as you said, it was absolutely packed to the rafters.
Yeah. Chantelle and I, we can be a very naughty combination once in a while, because when we kind of got
it's official. It's official. Chantelle and Tina can be a very naughty combination.
Yeah, because we kind of started this discussion, and as I said very early, I don't want any of my PhD students be presenting at the same time as the SERPAS-CVOT, because people would go to the SERPAS-CVOT. So we came up with this idea that for EASD to serve coffee to everyone very early. And I'm so happy that we had that successful. We had a packed room. We had 1,200 people on live, and it was really wonderful. I had fun.
And I would agree completely with that point. And I think the reason that there's so much interest is because these outcomes trials, such as SERPASS-CVOT and all the many others, these are actually the results of research on outcomes that matter to people. People care about whether they die or don't die, have a heart attack, have a stroke, you know, develop, you know, hospitalizations and other things. And these are answering very important questions. And that is what gets people to wake up in the morning and come see a session like this, because their patients are going to be asking them about it tomorrow when they read about it in the news. It's relevant to people. And that's why these are so important.
Yeah, and they're really important, not only in respect to cardiovascular disease, but also they are generating new hypotheses.
Yeah.
We have learned a lot about safety. We have started looking into liver disease. We have started looking into cognitive function. So yes, the FDA and EMA decided that we needed those trials many years ago, but it has really been a game changer in not only diabetes, but also obesity. So
fantastic.
Much more to do.
Fantastic stuff. So I think we can firmly and conclusively claim that it's been a success all round. We'll be back with you very shortly.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes. We hope you enjoyed today's insights. If you did, go ahead and hit subscribe and you'll always stay up to date with the latest in diabetes research and discoveries. And if you'd like to dive deeper, you can find plenty more information at easd.org.